authorities to retain their identities and way of life and use their federally supported political power to get more for their particular ethnic groups than they would be able to get on their own initiatives and abilities. This is all a part of the well-organized and publicly financed campaign to bring about a fracturing of the political power structure and a polarization leading to a destruction of or a change in the form of government in our country. It appears to be considered all wrong for the Watergators to raise money from the private sector for a political purpose, but it's all right to extort federal money to bring about our own destruction. I suggest you read the headlines in the Billings Gazette this morning where it says ethnic speakers blast whites and the parties, meaning political parties.
Yes, I did read that this morning.
Yeah.
What do you feel is our solution to that?
Well, I feel that the solution is that we should, every element of the population should do what is best for the country rather than what is best for the individuals or minority groups in the country. They should adapt themselves to our society and our culture and become a part of it instead of becoming fragments.
In other words, all work together for the betterment of all of us.
That's right.
Instead of one small part. All
That's
right.
Good.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. The number to call is 245-3121. If you have any views on this, you might want to talk about the multiple use building that we're having some hassle on. Oops. Good morning, you're on the air.
Good morning. How long are the taxpayers hold out that are paying for all these goodies that some people get? Now, I'm not talking about the sick and the old and afflicted and the children that need this help, but there's so many of them, and we had a friend who's come back from California. He worked in a hotel, and most all the people in there were welfare recipients, and he said one man got a pension, and his welfare, which went to $600, and he claimed he was working for 85 cents an hour in a jack-run hotel. And this OEO that I've got in the American Opinion magazine, they're funding money in this for abortions to be paid by the taxpayers and lots of other such things in this book. That's a shame and a disgrace, and no wonder Watergate is nothing compared with people taking this welfare money when they don't need it. And it stinks to high heaven, and it's about time that people do wake up and do something about this and write to the senators and their president, but I don't know whether they even care or not, so that's the way I feel. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I think that the people, particularly the Christian world, ought to be aware that the Congress of the United States is presently considering two bills that will greatly affect the church. These bills were introduced by Senator Wilbur Mills of Arkansas and Senator Mike Mansfield of Montana. The Senate bill is number Senate Bill 3657, and the House bill is number H.R. 15230, and they are titled Tax Policy Review Act of 1972. The reason these bills will affect the church is that they are striking out against two tax privileges the church presently has. One would do away with the housing allowance now allowed ordained ministers and would cut their salary as much as $200 per month. The other would do away with the charitable deductions made by individual Christians. This would mean that the gifts to churches, schools, orphan homes would no longer be tax deductible. And if a person gives $1,000 per year, he would then end up paying at least $200 per year in income tax on it. These bills have not yet passed, but there's a good possibility that they will unless the Christian people voice their objection. Every Christian is urged to write to the two aforementioned senators and to his own senator and representatives urging the defeat of these two bills. Now you write to Senator Mike Mansfield, the U.S. Senate Office Building, Washington, D.C., zip code 20510, and to the Senator Metcalf, the same address, and to our Congressman John Melcher and Richard Shoup, U.S. House of Representatives, Washington, D.C., zip code 20515. That's an interesting corollary there to feel that here we are giving money for certain privileged people, and, of course, the minister's salaries are nil, and, of course, they have enjoyed a privilege here in America because this was something guaranteed to us by the Constitution of the United States, and now it seems like our own Senator Mansfield, who I understood was a church-going man, is working very hard to do away with this and your right to give gifts. I wonder how many people out there in the audience have a comment on this. And I hope that you'll take the time to call in and give us your viewpoint. This is how these people learn what you feel, what you're thinking, and don't just let us sit here and talk. You talk about it and let us know, and don't be afraid to call in. We don't know you. We want you to, you know, express your viewpoint.
Right. You know, in case someone has never called in on one of these programs before, it's simply dialing in and you're talking to me and the conversation is going over the air, but there's nothing else to it. It's just a conversation. And we aren't interested in names or anything else. We just want viewpoints. And again, the number is 245-3121. Anything you'd like to talk about. We've got some political races. Good morning, you're on the air.
Yes, I think if you people expect 99% of these so-called Christians to do anything to save themselves or America, you're wasting your time. They simply refuse to get involved because someplace along the line, they've been brainwashed through in the seminaries and then through the ministers that they are not to get involved. That certainly must be the devil's teachings. Since the subject of taxes has come up, and this is income tax time, I think let's talk a little bit about the heavy progressive or graduated income tax.
Okay.
The income tax currently in effect in our land is exactly as Marx envisioned it, the systematic destruction of the great American middle class. Although it began gradually, its burden is rapidly increasing and is placed squarely on the backs of middle-class producers in America. Both the lower-income people and the super-rich are exempt from almost all income taxes, and what little taxes they do pay are not a burden to them. The super-rich, who control communism, took care of that little matter in America in the early teens in this country by setting up their tax-exempt foundations. Further, you will notice that the harassment by IRS officers is almost always against citizens of the middle class. I doubt if you will ever note an exception. If you realize that the purpose of the graduated income tax is not to raise money but to destroy the middle class, you will have learned a vital truth. People tell you, ask you, well, how would the government be supported without the income tax? Well, to begin with, we have about 85% more government than we need. And as I just mentioned, you must realize that the income tax was a part of the Marxist program to destroy the middle class, and it's certainly working. Now we see something else happening in our country. A foreign-born Marxist by the name of Henry Kissinger is now preparing, or maybe he's already left, to go to Moscow. I suppose he will sell us out the rest of the way. I suppose this is to make sure that if he missed giving them something when he was over there before, he will do it this time. And the American people sit here like tranquilized sheep, and most of them are even too frightened or indifferent to even raise their voice. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I couldn't agree more with you, gentlemen. I think if anything does like this happen in America, it will be because of the Christian people who have not stood up. They have the right given to them not only by God but by the Constitution to do something. Interesting what the gentleman said about Mr. Kissinger. I wonder how many people are aware that there is a bill before Congress and the Senate right now to allow an alien to become president of the United States of America, a bill that would no longer require a person of a naturalized birth in America, American citizen, to be president of the United States.
Which, of course, he is not.
And, of course, Mr. Kissinger is not. So I think this is imperative, again, that people do something. Frank, coming next week up in Helena, we've talked many times about the Equal Rights Amendment, and so many people misinterpret this, thinking that it is equal rights for women. It is not equal rights for women. In fact, the men are on the bandwagon because they see what's happening. And there is a movement, the Montana Citizens Against the Equal Rights Amendment, is now going to try to overturn what our senators up in Helena done. They're going to try to rescind the Equal Rights Amendment, bring it to the vote of the people. Now, this is not going to do away with it, because it'll have to go back to the senators again to vote on it, but a large vote of the people against it. I might say that Virginia turned it down, and Nebraska did rescind the Equal Rights Amendment. So if you care, and you're willing to support this cause, you may like to go to a workshop and a luncheon. It'll be next Saturday morning, March 30th, from 9:30 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon. From 9:30 to 10, there's registration. It's at Jorgensen's Holiday Inn, the Big Sky Room, at 1714 11th Avenue North in Helena. And we would like to have as many people who care about this to take the time to go. If you want more details, call 656-5681. It will cost $12.50, which will pay for a basic kit, a luncheon, a coffee break, and special guests who will be most informative. Rumor has it that perhaps Phyllis Schauffele will make it here. Of course, this lady has stood forefront trying to explain to the women of America that they're going to be losing their rights and they're not going to be gaining them. Now, if people don't believe this, all they have to do is write to Maryland. And in Maryland, they passed the Equal Rights Amendment. Then they turned around and they voted to add it to their constitution. Now, Mrs. Roselle here in Montana has worked to take out the word men and women and make it person or so forth. And this is going to happen in Montana. Now, as a result of the passage of this Equal Rights Amendment there in Maryland, some 80 bills were introduced like nobody's business, 5 minutes practically after the law was passed. And the interesting thing was that these people who had supported it, you know, all the time, these women's livers and all of this, they suddenly became before the legislative body and says, hey, now, fellas, let's don't do this so fast. And right, they should have, because in these bills, they were the women were then forced to pay alimony. They could be charged for non-support of their spouse and their children. They eliminated all reference to lavatories and things like this in schools and things like this. They made prisons co-ed with no provision for privacy of either sex. They made the jails in the local counties the same way. They provided that payment to inmates for road work would be paid over to the spouse and children or other persons. They provided for the state's roads commission to pay over to the spouse, children, other person, the inmates pay for road work. They authorized employment upon public roads and bridges of all able-bodied inmates who are in the judgment of the road board physically able to perform such work, and no criteria for determining what was physically able. It made a wife liable for payment of alimony to her husband. It allowed female mental patients to be transported to or from a facility accompanied by a person. The law currently that they had there required that a female could be accompanied by a female, which, of course, again, ladies, is going to mean that if women were taken before the police down here, they would be investigated by men, not by women.
No matrons.
No matrons. And this is what's happening, and this is all because people don't take the time to care. So if they're interested...
This is next Saturday,
yes. Holiday Inn.
Everybody knows that, Jorgensen.
Hey, by the way, you're at an advanced stage here today. Frank's celebrating his 42nd birthday. Happy birthday, honey.
Oh, boy. After 21, nobody's really interested in any after that. Just don't forget about it. Again, our number is 245-3121 if you have anything you'd like to discuss. You know, over the last couple of years, we've all become real concerned about this inflation, especially in our groceries. And, you know, every time I read an article on this bread deal to Russia, I can't help but get a little irate. You know, 2 years ago, our administration sold Russia all the wheat it wanted on borrowed money at $1.50 a bushel. And, of course, our bakers now are paying $5 to $6 a bushel for this wheat. Chances are we'll probably be buying some of it back from Russia. And even though a lot of it has not even left our shores yet, they've had a real jam up in trying to get it all shipped out. And Russia isn't even putting up any front money for this. We guarantee the cost of that. The administration guarantees. If they don't pay it, our government will pay this $1.50 a bushel. So chances are we won't even get the $1.50 a bushel. And American Bakers Association have been real concerned about this. They predict that during the summer, for a month or two, there will not be any bread on the shelves. Now, I don't know if this will happen or not, but this is what they do predict. And the Agricultural Department admitted that its early prediction that there was abundant wheat was an error, which probably isn't the first time they've been in error. But the Bakers Association does predict that prices will be in May or June. Well, we may be paying a dollar or so a loaf for a loaf of bread if we can get it. And yet we're still shipping this wheat out at a dollar and a half a bushel to Russia. It's kind of scary when we have that kind of talent in Washington. The gentleman mentioned earlier why we had to have so much federal income tax money, perhaps so we can give away our wheat and then buy it back at about four times the cost, because I believe it's close to $6 a bushel now on the market. If you have anything you'd like to discuss, again, give us a call, 245-3121. Perhaps with some of the coming elections. We were out of town, but this week, isn't our county attorney running for re-election?
Mm-hmm, I understand that he is, yes.
I haven't read anything on it. I just got it on the air.
At the same time, we find that he dropped his case down here on pornography because the legislature it did nothing to assist him accordingly with the law. Now, we did get a law through 2 years ago that became final law on January 1st, which allegedly was supposed to take care of this pornography. But they say that it's only because for 18-year-olds. And therefore, yeah, or younger, and it's supposed to be taken care of. Well, this is really a laugh, because any law official could go down to these theaters anytime, pick up 10 or 20 youngsters who have gone in there because they've changed their ID cards. And yet we see the vilest of all films shown across the country, which was put before the Supreme Court, has not been ruled on. Deep Throat is showing in Billings, Montana. Why? Because the people refuse to do anything about it. I wonder how many people out there, Frank, care about this thing. Do they want their city inundated with these sex films constantly? Now, ordinarily, as Christians, I know the majority of the Christians do not go. But there are a lot of people who claim the name of Christ, and they do go to these. And there are a lot of youngsters, even though they have not in a Christian background, they still go to these movies, whether parents believe it or not. They are going, and they are seeking to do this simply because they don't want to be different. Just because you have taught them the right things doesn't mean that they don't want to go along with the crowd. They are doing it, and anybody can go to a theater and see this. I wonder how many people out there will take the time to call in. What's your opinion on pornography? Do you want it here? Do you want to just ignore it? Or are you as concerned as we are about it? Give us a call, 245-3121.
Good morning, you're on the air.
Well, someone was talking a while ago about the Soviet American agreement.
On what was that? Which agreement?
On the wheat.
Oh, on the wheat, right, okay.
I wonder if people realize that the Soviets owed us $11 billion.
But that's from
World War II.
Right, yeah, our lend lease or whatever that was.
Yes, our lend lease aid to them during World War II. And once before, in 1960, I think, they had started the negotiations to lower this amount. And at that particular time, the United States demanded $800 million, which was a little over 7 cents on the dollar that they owed us,
right,
that they would have to pay us $800
million.
And at that time, Russia wouldn't pay us more than $300 million, which was 2 6/10 cents on the dollar. That was renewed, those talks were renewed in 1972, I think, when Mr. Kissinger was over there. And on July 8, 1972, an agreement was made. And in that agreement, the Soviets agreed to pay $722 million of the $11 billion debt, which is about 6 6/10 cents on the dollar. Besides that, Mr. Nixon agreed to sell them $750 million worth of grain over a three-year period, and $500 million of that sale was to be on credit at 6 12/100% interest, guaranteed by the U.S. government, as was said a while ago.
Right.
And President Nixon also agreed to give the Soviets the tariff reductions they want if he can get Congress to approve. And if Congress didn't approve, he was going to reduce that $722 million to $48 million. Remember, they're getting the grain that we wanted, that we need. And now, when price has gone up so high, I noticed in the Billings Gazette a couple weeks ago where Canada were saving enough wheat to send to the United States. Mm-hmm. But they're going to demand $7 or more a bushel for that wheat.
And they'll get it.
Yeah, and have you seen us? Our farmers getting $7 a bushel for grain?
No.
For wheat? I haven't. I think that is the most stupid thing I ever heard of.
Well,
next to this one about forcing the citizens to pay income tax on the money they give to the church.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yes, it is.
That just came to my attention a few days ago. I can't imagine that. That's something everybody better think about, because almost everyone does give to some religious organization during the year, schools, churches, what have you, and normally, say you give $1,000, well, of course, that is deducted off of your earnings there.
Mm-hmm.
But now with this new law that Mansfield and this other fellow put through, that $1,000, none of it's deducted. And so really, what you give $1,000, it's like giving $1,200 or $1,300 then, because you got to pay tax on that.
Your income tax increases if you make enough so that you are paying at least a fifth.
$1,000
would make you pay $200 more income tax.
Well, that's what I say, right? It's the same as giving $1,200 or $1,300 when you give that $1,000.
That's right.
Well, without the deduction there. So it's going to hurt, and what it's going to hurt is the church. It's pure and simple. And again, if people object to this, they better let Mr. Mansfield know how to feel about this.
Amen.
All right, then.
Thank you.
Bye.
The Senate bill number is Senate Bill 3657, and it's entitled Tax Policy Review Act.
Morning, you're on the air.
This is Mrs. Ostner, and I was wondering what item gets the stenographer Moses Tree in town, and what can we do about it?
All right, I'm glad you asked. Well, what I'd like to have you do later on, and anybody else that feels like you do, that they want to do something against this, why don't you call us at our home? We'll be home for about 12 o'clock. And we do have a few plans of what we'd like to do. And our number is 656-5681. So you or any of your friends that would like to do something, if you'll call us at home from 12 o'clock on. 656-5681. Because I believe it's obvious to you and everybody else that our officials are not doing anything. Now, Leona and me were criticized quite a bit last fall or whatever it was when that last tangle in Paris was here. A lot of people said, well, her and I shouldn't have went to see it. Well, the reason we went and seen part of it, we were told by our county attorney we could not file a complaint against this just because we knew it was kind of rotten. We'd seen the reviews, but we couldn't do it unless we'd actually seen it. So we went and sat through part of this piece of garbage, and that's the only thing you can call it. And there's worse ones downtown now, but this was a trial balloon, more or less, to see if they could get away with it, and they did. So then we went the next morning to see our county attorney, and he flat told us he was going to do nothing about it. After telling us earlier, he would if we signed a complaint. I don't think he thought we'd actually, go see it. So he was safe in saying, well, we did. We seen part of it, so we could sign a complaint, and then he wouldn't do anything about it. And this is the same fellow that's running for re-election. Now, I don't care who's running against him. He's got my vote. But if you'll call us back at 12 o'clock, we'd be real glad to go over it with you.
Well, do you have to see the movie to be against it?
Oh, no, you do not. But I meant to sign this complaint. He told us we had to see part of it to sign a complaint, so he'd do something. But forget it. He isn't going to do anything. We have to do something. But
if
you'll call us...
As soon as it's X-rated, that's where I'm staying away.
You betcha. Okay, we've got a call on the other line. I appreciate your call.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Morning, on the air.
I was just going to say, us wheat farmers did pretty good in 1973. We got the highest prices we ever did.
You got about $5 a bushel, didn't you?
Yeah, $5.
Right.
And now, in 1933, all the surpluses were burned up just to get the higher prices.
Uh-huh.
Now, at this date, we were lucky to be able to sell it to Russia, even though we don't get any money. We didn't have to burn it.
Well, you got a point there. We don't want to burn it, but on the other hand, there should be some kind of a happy compromise so that the people here aren't going hungry. If it goes to that point, a lot of people predict we actually won't have any this summer. I don't know.
We'll raise plenty of it.
Oh, you'll have it
the
in the fall.
The people aren't going to go hungry, don't worry. There's always going to be some people hungry, no matter what, but our people have been pretty lucky.
We have, compared to the rest of the world. Very lucky, right.
kind of feel that we ought to look after this country before we do Russia. Do you agree on that? Or,
we always think that, but we may have to trade with each other to get by in this world.
Okay. Well, I'll certainly agree with you. It's time that the wheat farmers did get some kind of a price, because they haven't for a long time. There's no question there. So that was that one part. Some good has come out of that.
I couldn't hear you very good, but that's about all I had to say.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Frank, I maybe wanted to know what she could do. There are other things that they can do. They can call our city officials, who promised that we would have some kind of pornography law here, and keep backing out of it. We had a committee formed. They can call down there and ask their alderman. If they don't have an alderman, they can call the city attorney, Mr. Willis Jones.
Who is the head of this committee?
Who is the head of this committee who keeps putting it off. Because, again, the same party is in power. And when the one party is in power, we all talk the same language. And we, as citizens, they've done it in Philadelphia, down in Salt Lake City. They got rid of the stations and things just exactly over Last Tango and Paris. So it can be done. And they are doing it only by the alerted citizens who band together. If we have to, I say what we have to do is go down there and march in front of them. And, in other words, you know, picket them. And let them know we don't need them in this city. We don't want them in this city. I wonder how many people feel the same way as I do. We go down there and picket them and let them know that Billings, Montana don't want this filth in their city.
Well, the thing is, like we discussed before, they sent this trial balloon a while back, Last Tango in Paris.
Yes.
And that went slipped by real nice. And now we've got at least two X-rated films.
Well, we had five going in 1 week.
Well, now we've got the Deep Throat, which is about the worst they've ever come up with. And then
exactly
another one.
Before the Supreme Court, it hasn't been tried.
So the next logical step, if the citizens don't do anything about it, will be like they have in so many communities. Not only will have films, they will have the actual thing going on in the
streets.
Now,
if it's bad in New York that they ban Deep Throat back there, it's got to be bad, and we've got it in Billings, Montana. And this is just opening the door for live models, live theater, blasphemy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and things like this that are going on in the eastern cities right now. And I understand Governor Reagan tossed them out down in California, but that's what was going on down there. They had their trial balloons a long time ago.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of scary to think that actually we have worse here in Montana than they are in California at this point.
Correct.
That we're getting to where they were several years ago.
Right.
We're going to where they were. Again, if anybody would like to work with us on that, don't count on your city officials or county officials, least of all. They proved what they aren't going to do. Give us a call at our house at 656-5681, and we can get together on this. And it looks like we're running out of time
about
again.
That time.
Right.
Well, we thank you all who took the time to call in this morning. And we ask you to call us back next Saturday morning. Perhaps we may not be here next Saturday morning if we happen to go to that meeting, but we ask you to go too. Thank you so much.
You have been listening to an open forum, today's broadcast, and thank you for your part. It was hosted and sponsored by Frank and Leona Dice. Be sure to tune in next week at 10:30 and tell some of your friends to tune in. Not always right in all men's eyes, but faithful to the light within. The time is 11 o'clock. This is KURL Billings, Montana. We'll be having our Voice of Salvation broadcast in just a moment. First of all, a look at weather. Variably cloudy skies through tomorrow with a 30% chance of snow flurries, then down to 20 tonight, 20 tomorrow. 25 to 30 degrees on the high side today, with 15 to 20 the low tonight, and 35 to 40 the high tomorrow. 21 degrees currently is our mercury reading here at KURL in Billings.